thou Ancient of Days, thou art worthy all praise. Hallelujah. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. This is Psalm 90, and it says, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. During this season, my eye fell on a book that was on my shelf at home. And since our staff theme had to do with serving the Lord, I thought, oh, that's nice. I think I'm going to take that down and read it sometime. But I didn't do it at that time anyway. It said, Moses, the servant of God. Moses, the servant of God. Before I took the book down, I started thinking of that. Why is the title Moses, the servant of God? Then I realized that he's referred to as the servant of God in a number of places in the Bible. In Revelation, for instance, they sing, this is at the glassy sea, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. And when he dies, he's called the servant of God, Deuteronomy 34. I noticed that later. That wasn't one that just came to mind. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. But this one came to mind in Hebrews 3. It speaks about Moses. Of course, he's being compared to Christ, and the idea that's being brought out there is that Christ is so much greater than Moses. But it says Moses was a servant in God's house in Hebrews 3. And it says something wonderful there. It says that he was a faithful servant in God's house. Remember how Jesus said that the master will say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Well, we all want to be servants, don't we? And good and faithful servants who will hear that one day, enter into the joy of thy Lord. But here it says about Moses that Moses was faithful in all his house. It says, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. And of course, it says here that Jesus is greater than Moses, but Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant. And then the comparison is that Christ is the son over his own house. Moses, a faithful servant in his house. Christ, a faithful son over the house of God. Whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, firm unto the end. Moses was faithful in all his house. So I started thinking about Moses, and I did end up taking that book down. And there's nothing about Psalm 90 in that book, as I recall. I haven't read every word of it yet. But this psalm is a prayer of Moses, the man of God, and it's a psalm that we often hear read at funerals. My father would often speak from this psalm at funerals, and sometimes he would say, can you imagine how many funerals Moses held in those years? And when you think about it, in 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, there was a whole generation that was kept from entering into the promised land. All those, the children were to go in. Remember how they said, if we go into that land, our children are going to perish. And they'll bring them down. And God said, they're going to enter in, and you will die in the wilderness because of your disobedience and unbelief, your murmuring, your failure to follow my way. Well, I was just thinking this morning, in 40 years, I estimated conservatively, I know, very conservatively, and you'll see why I wanted to get a number that I could divide. So I thought if 480,000 people died in 40 years, must have been many more than that. But if they did, that would be 12,000 a year, 1,000 a month. Divide that by 30, 33 people every single day. I hope the tribal leaders helped Moses with the memorial services, but or maybe they did it, you know, like some of these mass weddings. Maybe they had funerals like that. I don't know, but it was a lot. And even if he had assistants and never conducted a funeral, he was certainly surrounded by people dying and had a lot of thoughts about that, I'm sure. And yet he saw and in this prayer mentions the eternity, the eternal greatness and grandeur of God. You are our dwelling place. You are our home. You are our refuge, Lord. In all generations you have been, before the mountains were brought forth, before you ever formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And then, thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yes, or yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. What a prayer Moses prays here, recognizing that our lives here are but for a time. God is eternal. We are frail. Our years pass away. We spend our years or days as a tale that is told. Those years come to an end. And then he speaks about sin and wrath. Well, Moses knew that all this dying around him was because of the people's sin. And he knew also that death had passed upon men because of sin. You know, Moses wrote Genesis 3 also, so he knew of the fall of man, and he knew that death entered into the world because of sin. And he writes about that here in this psalm. We are under the wrath of God, and justly under his wrath because of our sin. Sin always leads to death. Yes, ultimately to that spiritual death, which is separation from God forever. And so we never want to treat sin lightly. So many people treat sin lightly, but David did not, did he? Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me, forgive my hidden faults. Cleanse me from secret sins, O Lord. Don't let willful sins rule over me. I want to live an upright life before you. Moses prays about that here and then asks for God's blessing, his blessing upon his people. He prays for God's grace. He recognizes their need of God's compassion and mercy. Return, O Lord. Relent, O Lord, it says in the NIV. How long will it be? We need your compassion, your mercy, your grace to be poured out upon us. Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for you and be glad all our days. Make us glad for the many days that you have afflicted us. For as many years as we have seen trouble, may your deeds be shown to your servants and your splendor to their children. And Moses has these prayers that he prays that are true blessings. We sang about blessings, and I thought, yes, we want showers of blessings. How do we define blessing, though? What is a blessing? We have our ideas of what we think of as a blessing, maybe a good feeling of some sort. That's what we want. Or maybe we do want to see God's work going forward. We have a heart that beats with his, and we want to march on and see his kingdom coming and his will being done in earth as it is done in heaven. That's good. What will bring that about? What will bring about the blessing of God in my life? Send it to me, Lord, whatever it might be. If it will help me to love you more, the hymn writer said, well, then let sorrow do its work. Send grief and pain. Sweet are thy messengers. Sweet their refrain when they can sing with me, more love, O Christ, to thee. We had a brother, a German brother, who sometimes would correct the rest of us from his place in the congregation. And when he heard too much rejoicing or too much asking for blessing, I guess he felt that we wanted, you know, things for ourselves. Maybe he was the only one that wanted the true blessing. But and sometimes he would get up and tell us, you want a blessing? Yeah, you want a Cadillac. And things like that, you know. Oh, you have one, don't you? Yeah. Oh, you had one. Okay. Anyway, so you were blessed. Anyway. You know, so then he would explain to us that, oh, that's what people, why they just want things and things of this life. And of course, there was truth in what he was saying. But then I would say sometimes that we want the blessing as God defines blessing. That's what we want. We want his blessings to be showered upon us. What he sees we need and what he wants to give to us, that's what we're praying for. Yes, God gives blessing upon blessing. In that verse we quoted yesterday, out of his fullness have all we received grace upon grace. I think it's in the NIV. It says, one blessing after another, for grace upon grace. And why not from God's hand, Lord, you bestow blessings upon your people. And then we have a picnic. And quite a number of years ago now, we got this idea that people would enjoy a cake table. So we ask people to bring their cakes to make something, maybe their best recipe or the thing that people like like the most, and they spread them out there, and there's really such an abundance. It's really a blessing. And usually this brother was first online at the cake table, so then we realized that he likes our kind of blessings also. But anyway, you know what I mean. Some people don't like the definition and the Beatitudes of the word blessed. As I was a kid growing up in the primary department, the teachers would teach us that means happy. Oh, happy. They don't like that word. Not the teachers in the primary department, but happy. It's just too superficial for some of the saints. Happy. They don't like that word. And then I've said to them, happy as God defines happy. That's what it means. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that mourn. They're happy in the sense that Jesus meant it. He's pronouncing a blessing on them because there's a wonderful result. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They shall be comforted. They shall inherit the earth. They shall be filled. They shall obtain mercy. They shall see God. What's happier than that? You know, so it's happiness as God defines happiness, isn't it? And the same with these blessings. You wouldn't think of them necessarily as great blessings, but maybe you would. He says, teach us to number our days. Sometimes I go into a home and I see calendar on the wall, and I'm not making fun of this, please, but I see like lines through the days, and it's up till today, you know. So then somebody must have maybe the Lord told them to do that so they would consider the passing of time. I don't know, but they draw a line through each day until, you know, and then the day ends and they put another line. I guess that's interesting. There may be a purpose in it, but I don't think that's what it means when it says teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. We want to know that each day is from God, but it's not just checking it off and subtracting it from our total. We don't know what our total is going to be. Anyway, 70 or 80 or higher? I hope higher. Anyway, but the prayer is that God will help us to live holy lives before Him. There's the way of wisdom, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. How can I make each day count for God? I think that's what it means. God's given me this day. I don't know if I'll have another. Lord, let this day count for you. Help me to live unto your praise, unto your glory, to be being filled with your Spirit. Help me, Lord. Live each day for God. That way we can live in a wise way, walk in His ways, keep in step with His Spirit. And then this prayer, satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. God sees us, and He wants to satisfy us with His love and help us to love Him in return and pour out our hearts and our lives before Him and live for Him every moment of every day, only to be what He wants me to be every moment of every day, because I love Him, trusting my Savior, whatever betide, knowing He's able and ready to guide, living for Jesus, surrendered and true, walking with only His pleasure in view, just to be clay in the potter's hands, ready to do what His word commands, only to be what He wants me to be every moment of every day. Satisfy us early with your mercy, with your unfailing love, that we may be glad and rejoice all our days. O Lord God, you made us for yourself. We thank you that you shed abroad your love in our hearts. You pour it forth by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. And we thank you for the blessing. It was interesting, after we sang showers of blessing, we sang, I have found a deep peace. Is there a blessing greater than that? I don't know, that's got to be among the top ones, right? I have found a deep peace that I never had known before I yielded control of my body and soul to my wonderful, wonderful Lord. And then establish the work of our hands, Lord. Help us to do things with our lives, with these hands that you've given us, according to your direction, Lord. Things that we do in your name. Everything, we want to do it to your glory, O Lord. And we know that you are wanting to direct us and motivate us and equip us and enable us to serve you and do things in your name that will count for eternity. Often I think of Brother Posta. Frank Posta was one of our ministers many years ago, and when I think of him, I always think of that little couplet that you see on mottos. He often said it somewhere in his talk that he would give. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And whenever I see those lines, too, I think of Frank Posta. And I think of the way he served the Lord with gladness. And just gave his heart and life to Jesus. And Moses did what God called him to do. He was a true servant of God. And God established his work. He gave the people his law. And God used that law. The whole law is holy, just, and good. And we understand that that law was fulfilled in Christ, who is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. And therefore, God's people who believe in Jesus can receive the gift of righteousness. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful blessing that is, to be justified by faith in Jesus and have peace with God through him. I pray that God will, you know, take my life in his hand and make the things that are done with the remaining time that I have left to count in his kingdom, to count for eternity. That's a wonderful prayer. But along with that prayer, Joe tells me he's leaving today. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. Let thy work appear unto thy servants. I think that's such a wonderful prayer. You know, God is always working. And we want to have faith toward him and trust him to manifest his presence and accomplish his desires and do his gracious work as he works in mighty and deep ways in our midst and among us, and then by us and through us to the glory of his name. My Uncle Gordon was here for the fourth period, and he has blessed my life so many times. He's been such an inspiration to me, just the way he's just always there for Jesus. He's always ready with something. When he comes to the meeting in Ridgewood, I'm talking about when I was younger and other ministers were in charge, yet he could fit in somehow as God led him to do and stand up and say something for Jesus or sing something for Jesus. And recently he came to Wednesday morning prayer time for a while when he was able to, just before he had some operation, and then he was not able to, but he came so regularly. He seemed so well and strong and anointed, and he would pray. That was so refreshing, that when we went to prayer, he would pray. I like that. Anyway, it's encouraging for a minister, as it was last night, when we lay hold in prayer. And one of the things that Uncle Gordon would pray on Wednesday mornings as we brought the needs of the church and the fellowship, and we prayed for God's kingdom to come, one of the things he would pray is, "Oh God, let your works appear." Maybe you've heard him pray that way. "Let your works appear to your servants. Let your work appear to your servants," he prayed. And I kind of latched on to that prayer. Oh God, let your work appear to your servants, and let your glory be seen, he didn't say this part, but it goes with it, by their children. Let the children of your servants see your glory. We love to pray for our children and for the coming generation and coming generations. And this is a good prayer. Oh God, let your works appear and let your glory be seen. Let our children see your works. Let them experience what you have for them, oh God. Let your glory appear to their children. And then let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Isn't that a great prayer? Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. May your favor, O Lord, rest upon us today. And when I read this prayer, I can't help but think of Moses. Think of what got into him that made him pray like this. I'm sure it was the Spirit of God. But he had such a desire for God's glory to be revealed, God's work to be done, and the work of his hands to be established. And how can that be except that God take us and mold us and make us and then fill us and use us? Lord, let your beauty be upon us. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. I pray, O thou Spirit divine, fill this temple of mine till the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. O God, bless each one here in this camp today. Bless those who are on our hearts today. Come to our families, we pray. Let your name be glorified in our families, O God. Let your work appear to your servants in our churches, Lord, in our lives, Lord, as we serve you in the interests of your kingdom. May it be said of us, as it was said of Moses, the servant of God, the servant of God, and not only that, who was faithful in God's house. Oh God, by your grace, we want to be faithful and remain faithful servants. Oh God, for your glory, for your name's sake, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's sing, Oh God, our help in ages past. I think it's based at least somewhat on this psalm. Number 15. As we sing the last verse.
Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Be thou my guide while life shall last, and our eternal home.
Amen. Hallelujah. And dear Lord, have your way in our lives today, we pray. Help us to be looking to you and serving you in the Holy Spirit this day. And let your love flow, Lord. into our hearts, and then from us one to the other, Lord, we pray. Make us a blessing for your name's sake. Amen.